this morning, I want to talk to us about refocusing on the mission of the church. And when I say church, I mean church with a little c and church with a big C. Now, perhaps I should explain myself. What I mean by little c, there's a lot of folks who are viewers here this morning that are local folks, and they would be considered the little c. But I also have a lot of viewers here this morning who live in other communities and may even attend a church of another denomination. You would be what we would consider the big C church. And with all that's going on in regards to the coronavirus, many of my Christian friends, even some of my family, have become so engrossed with the uncertainty and the tracking of ever-changing numerical values that are furnished and projected by the federal and state governments, that this somehow has overshadowed, if you will, the mission of the church. Now, listen, before I go any further, I want everyone to hear me very clearly. I'm not diminishing or minimizing the dangers associated with COVID-19, nor am I even remotely suggesting that we toss safety measures to the high winds. But I do think it is time for me and you, the people who make up the body of Christ, to begin to wrestle with what it looks like to live our faith and mission within this new reality. I mean, let's just be honest, folks. What was normal pre-COVID-19 will not be embraced again for any time soon. And the truth is, it could possibly never be re-embraced again. So I come to you this morning encouraging all of us to start the process in refocusing our mission by embracing the present and acknowledging that our world has changed and will be changed for the foreseeable future. I've shared with many of my close friends, and I've shared with some of the local church members here, that just prior to my graduation from high school, the first cases of acquired immune deficiency syndrome were reported, in the state of California. And within the first 10 years of that pandemic, it impacted the lives of 80 million adults and over 1 million children worldwide, according to the CDC. On May the 31st, 1991, it is reported that there were 179,136 AIDS cases among persons of all ages in the United States alone. And by the end of that year, 1991, AIDS was predicted to be the second leading cause of death among men 25 to 44 years of age, and likely to be one of five of the leading causes of death among women aged 15 to 44 years in the United States. Even the World Health Organization predicted back then, by the year 2000, it said, there would be 40 million people who would be infected with the virus known as HIV, which was the viable microorganism that caused AIDS. The cautions associated back in that day with this syndrome were widespread and included instructions like avoiding kissing folks, avoiding contact with other people's perspiration, and even instructions of not helping someone who was injured if they were bleeding and you did not have PPE. I mean, I can even remember reading an article that stated if blood infected by the disease was on a roadway and that roadway exceeded 94 degrees Fahrenheit, that if you touched that blood, you could become infected. People were warned about blood transfusions. Doctors and nurses feared getting stuck by an infected needle. And many other measures and rumors were swirling throughout our communities. And though AIDS is still as potently dangerous today as it was in 1991, the church managed, eventually, to learn how to do ministry to a world that had become crippled by HIV/AIDS. Now again, if you just tuned in and haven't heard the whole sermon, I want to say again emphatically, I am not in any way attempting to minimize the crisis that we are facing. I'll be honest with you, as a 50-plus-year-old man who lived a life that was, at least in my younger years, that was not counterproductive to Christianity and counterproductive to living a healthy, long life, I must be not only aware and cautious, but intentional about not putting myself in a compromising position that could jeopardize my well-being. You know, there was an old fellow that I used to work with that went to a different church, and he's dead and gone now. But he used to tell me, he said, "Boy, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself when I was your age." You know, it took me years to get past the humor to see what he was really trying to tell me. What he was trying to tell me was that if we are going to take care of ourselves as Jesus commands, then we have to love ourselves in ways that enable that we put our lives before dangers. But doing that does not replace, nor does it supersede, our calling of fulfilling Christ's mission of the church. So this morning, I want you and I to read together a passage that I believe clearly defines what the mission of the church looks like. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew and is found in the 25th chapter. And as Dave begins to place those scriptures on our screen, these verses are going to be Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. It's a little bit of a lengthy read, so I'm going to invite you to read those verses along with me. Verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd, separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and put the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the King will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me.'" Now verse 41 goes on to say, "Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the evil fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?' And then he will answer them, saying, truly I tell you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to always conclude the scripture reading saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and all responds, thanks be to God. Would you please join me with a word of prayer? Lord God, we are so thankful for your word, for the instruction that it gives. It tells us that it is a light unto our path. And Lord, we as your people, we as a nation, we as a world need a bright light on our path because we have so many things that are distracting us and so many things that are yearning for our attention. So God, my prayer this morning is this, for all who are watching, that you will let us hear the voice of your Holy Spirit louder than any of those voices that bide for our attention. Help us to refocus, Lord, on your mission. I ask God that you use this sermon time to speak through me. And this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, these words from our reading are sobering when we think of all the people we are guilty of dismissing, abandoning, denying, and or rejecting. But the point that I want us to see is below the text, and that point is this. Fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the mission of the church, demands of us an interaction with the rest of the world. I mean, doing anything for the least of these demands our intentionality, our time, and our efforts. Now, as one pastor wrote, Jesus' actions and teachings speak to a costly expression of God's love given to those that least expect it. And this is the path set out before us as well. And here's the point to that quote. The example of Jesus Christ, living that example, was risky even prior to COVID-19. I mean, let's be honest. Life is messy. And for you and I, who are willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the mission of the church will place you and I in messy situations. So if we break down the scripture passage that we just read, and we break it down in the current context of the coronavirus, we know that visiting the sick in hospitals and nursing homes are beyond our control. My wife, her name is Teresa, and her sister Shauna are two of the greatest caregivers I have ever seen for their dad. You see, even though they are unable to enter his place of residency, for he's in a nursing home, these two women will sit in the heat of the day, in the blazing sun, to spend time with their father through a screen on a window while practicing social distancing. It has been over 4 months, friends, since these two girls had the chance to hug, kiss, or touch their dad. Yet they have not lost their passion, nor their love for that man. COVID-19 has been present in his facility, but these two girls have still found a way to minister to the one. Let's look at this, or let's take a step maybe in a different direction. For those of you who don't know me, I have loved for over 10 years going to the penitentiary, participating in a ministry called Kairos. But you know, the Arkansas Department of Corrections has halted all interactions for the men and women who make up the teams that minister to the men and women in white and blue. And we don't know when we'll be able to physically visit them again. But let me tell you something. COVID-19 has not hindered the gift of prayer. Not the cement walls that they're confined in, not the barbed wire that's around those prisons, not even government restrictions. None of those can stop the power of prayer in those individuals' lives. I think you get my point, but let me just... Well, last but not least. This scriptural passage speaks about feeding, clothing, and providing something to drink. Now, you and I can fulfill this part of Christ's mission without ever physically being present with those who are in need. Let me show you something this morning. Can you help me, Chris? Thank you. Here, friends, is a tool for ministry that I want to offer to you in a partnership journey. These boxes weigh only 60 pounds and can host food and drink or clothing if you desire for the needy in your area. As you have heard us say most Sunday mornings that we come to you, Green Forest United Methodist Church has 5 blessing boxes, that are strategically placed throughout our community. And these boxes are used to help those homes that suffer from food insecurity. Now, the reason I said strategically placed is because Green Forest United Methodist Church does not own the land where these boxes are residing. We asked and partnered with not only our local city library, but also our local city government and our school district, so that we could be intentional about placing these boxes in areas of our community that had high foot traffic, so that the children or whomever is in need could utilize these boxes easily. And here's my point. You can have that same impact in your community, encouraging others to actively partner with you, if you will, and not only placing these boxes, but keeping these boxes filled to meet the needs of those in your community. Now, here's how the partnership works. It's very simple. If you would make a donation for $250 to cover the cost of the building, Green Forest United Methodist Church will cover the cost of shipping that box, your box, to your home. You can send your donation to Dave, thank you, he has them on the bottom of the screen, to P.O. Box 770, Green Forest, Arkansas. Or you can go online and give. If you give the sum of $250, we will know that you are seeking partnership. You can email me or the church address, email the church through its email address, what your home address is, and we can then turn around and ship these boxes to you. Listen. In refocusing on the mission of the church and calling us back to action, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from practicing all the guidelines that are set before us to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. But friends, I would be remiss as a minister of Jesus Christ if I did not call the church's attention back to refocusing on our mission as people of God. Christ's compassion for the world is spread through mine and your actions. We all know that old saying, that actions speak louder than words. Well, the love of Jesus becomes action when you and I are intentional about loving our neighbor through kindness and through our deeds. When we seek to meet the needs of another, we are worshiping God with our acknowledgement that people outside of the focus of our daily lives are valuable to the kingdom, for they are made in the image of our Heavenly Father. So let me share with you one final thought. The Bible tells us that we reap what we sow. I mean, it's a kingdom principle that works. If you want a change of perspective, if you long for something positive in your life, if you want your heart and your mind to be renewed with the joy of salvation and the peace that surpasses understanding, God's Word tells us we have the power to make that change. It comes from living out Christ's mission for the church. You and I both already know that Jesus Christ was intentional about every action of His life making a difference for the kingdom. He showed respect, He had compassion, and He extended mercy to those whom the world of His day claimed unworthy. No one was invisible to Jesus. No one was beyond the abundance of grace. If we look at the life of the human named Jesus of Nazareth, the example He lives is that if we seek to do all that we can to fulfill the mission of the church, we will have a balanced life that will always bring about glory for God and His kingdom. So this morning, I'm asking all who are watching, will you refocus your mind on the mission of the church? Will you refocus your mind on the mission Christ has left for us to fulfill by partnering with us to make a difference in another individual's? Whatever your answer, my friends, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto Christ. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.